When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Candles, music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a dick theater. I'd imagine you're around.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, microphone people.
Hello.
I'm Bradford.
And I'm Angela.
And we have the gentleman here.
Hello, microphone people.
Still, I mean, basically, if you listen to last week, this is a continuation. We're still the same night for us.
Yeah.
We're just torching you sexy fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're discussing desire.
Yeah.
And our experiences and whatnot.
The resort desire. And desire.
Oh, right.
Why not both?
Yeah.
So when last we heard us, we had just finished talking about the Dungeon Night on
yes.
Life on the Swing Sets takeover.
Now, what night was that? Because that was a little bit unclear.
Wednesday.
So we got there on Saturday. It was Tuesday.
It was Wednesday. It was halfway
really?
Through the week.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So halfway through. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Okay. So what play went down on Dungeon Night?
Do you mean sexy play?
Sexy play.
There was no sexy play.
No.
It was sexy play between Angela and I. Every night we tore that. Like, that poor bed is going to need to go to counseling for the next 10 years.
The things they did to me.
Yeah. The things it saw us do on it. Yeah.
So we did, as far as play goes, let's talk about a few play sessions.
Okay.
We had our first MMMF.
Yeah.
Three
M's and an F.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which was awesome because watching Angela have sex with a man fit it, and then like the beautiful, sexy succubus that she is. Finish with him, hop onto the second guy, finish with him, hop onto me, finish with me, and then immediately go back to guy one because he's now had enough time for a refractory period to be over.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, if we'd had more time, I'm pretty sure that she would have just kept doing that for the end of time.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
At what point does that reach... That's a gangbang status right there, right?
No.
No,
it's not.
So, in my mind, a gangbang is... Four or five or more.
I would say that.
I would have said five or more.
I'm going to
Okay, so wait. So five guys or more?
Five guys, one girl. Yeah.
I'm going to do a quick Google search just to see.
Define gangbang.
Yeah, to see what the actual, if there is an official number, I'm going to guess.
I would have thought 3 miles.
It just says a group of people.
So we should see, this was one of the things you asked, some of the things that were going on during the days. Tristan Taramino did a how to facilitate a gangbang.
Uh-huh.
That was one of her workshops. We did not go to that one. I wish we had.
No. So this
we needed sleep.
Urban Dictionary does say here typically four or more.
There you go.
Okay, but well, there was four.
Four or more men.
No.
Four or more men.
Damn it, gentlemen.
But then another one says three or more, so I don't know.
Okay, so it might have been it was a mini gangbang.
A mini gang?
A mini gang. I mean, because how many people is in a gang? That's my thing. I feel like you need at least five people, and they all need to be doing this.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Five.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
I would have said, definitely.
And you have to have some sort of colors. You have to have, like, the Sharks or maybe the Jets. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Da-da-da-da. Okay.
But that was a really, really fun play session. And that was near the beginning of the week.
So that was day one. Day two.
It was day two.
It was Sunday.
Yeah. But that started things off nicely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it did.
Do you want to talk about your pet plays?
Yes.
Oh my god, I wish the listeners could see your face. You're like,
So, yes. Look, we'll talk a bit, or we have talked a bit about already on the live podcast. Mm-hmm. This was because we talked about firsts. When we did live podcast, we talked about firsts. And I don't want to go through all of that again because we already talked about it. But I did play with a young lady who I had never had that kind of animalistic connection. So I've helped chemistry with people before, and it's like I've had really strong chemistry with people. But this was literally an animal-like, this was animal fucking kind of sex.
Uh-huh.
And it was weird. It was different in a situation in that I knew Angela and this lady's partner were on the bed with us. But normally, I'm a little more connected with Angela. And normally, we'll touch each other, we'll have looks, and that kind of will change. Honestly, we could have been in completely separate universes. Like, the female and I connected in a way that was purely animalistic.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Which is really rare for me. We were doing a lot of the nuzzling during sex. I'm sure there was a lot of animal. I know I growled a bit. I think she growled a bit. After the sex was done, I said to her, I said, "Do you do pet play?" Because this was actually, I think, the night after the dungeon. Mm-hmm. So I was very still much in that animalistic mind.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well, no. Occasionally, you know,
we'll talk about it
where we feel like he's kind of a wolf and I'm a rabbit and he's hunting me." And it was very much a, like, I can make bunnies growl kind of thing. So yeah, it was really, really good sex. Woof. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you were the fox and then she's the bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
fox hunts bunny.
Yeah, yeah. The fox hunts the bunny.
Yeah.
And it was unlike any other sex I'd ever had. Like outside, so Angela and I will occasionally have that kind of really intense animalistic sex. That never happens with me with a non-primary partner.
Yep.
Or non-consistent partner. So for a first time it was kind of crazy.
Mm.
Awesome. Then I had another play with a couple where she was very kitten-esque.
Okay.
And again, I was toying with her and I was very dominant. You would have been so surprised. I found my dominant side. I'm clearly, after these 2 weeks, I'm clearly a switch. I can definitely dom. And with her, it was fun because I had her mewling for a good hour.
Really?
Okay. That one I was more aware of what was going on around us.
Yeah.
Because I would toy with her and I'd focus on Angela and her, this lady's partner. But that was part of the game. That was part of ignoring her was part of the fun.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right.
And then finally, I had her, I was cradling her in my arms and fingering her and with my hands. And I will say that my proudest moment of anything I've ever said after sex came with this lady, where I had her at a full orgasm, wonderful rolling orgasm, where I'm holding onto her shoulders and she's just writhing. And then when she was done, had just caught her breath, I whispered in her ear, "I have something to tell you." She's like, "What? What?" I went, "I'm right-handed." And I'd done all of that with my left hand. And the sound that she made was one of those, like, it very much was that. And I was very proud of that. I'm never clever. I'm never sexy. But it's one of those, I'm more goofy sexy than sexy sexy. And it really was one of those that, with me and my dom side, I could very easily become another person. Mm-hmm. Which was great.
Yeah, and then the last night, I think there were a lot of people up around the hot tub area because it was the last night, but there were a couple of couples that we really liked and wanted to spend more time with and get to know better, so we lured those two couples into the playroom off of the disco. and we had a nice little play session with them. That was a lot of fun. It was, and I think just because of who the couples were, there was a bit of switching around between partners and different kinds of play. The wand came out at one point. So at one point the wand came out because she had played with it, and then we put a condom on it, and I was playing with it, and I got on the rolling orgasms.
The wand is the...
The Hitachi wand.
The Hitachi ones. Okay, yeah, great.
Yeah, and I got on the rolling orgasms with it, and I know at one point I looked up and I was like, y'all can take this away from me at any point, but I'm just going to keep going. Yeah. But that was really nice to play with them. Hopefully, if they come back next year, hopefully we'll get a little more time with them.
I think both couples are coming back next year, which I'm pretty stoked about.
Yeah. And that was nice. And it's funny because I know that there was a lot of play probably happening around the hot tub, but I liked that more intimate, just like, you know, let's focus on each other instead of having the...
We're not doing a show.
Yeah, but, instead of having all the distractions and whatever. Like, I liked making that connection a lot more so. And I think that that's one thing that I did not expect going into the 2 weeks, but it happened, I would say, both weeks in particular. I found myself making more emotional and mental connections with people than what I had expected to.
Yeah.
And I started, especially, I guess, after the first week as well, I started craving that more the second week. It's like I wanted to just talk to people, and I wanted to get to know them, and I wanted to have that connection with them. And to the point that I was having so much fun talking to people that sometimes I'd forget, like, oh, well, maybe we could go play. Uh-huh. But at that point, like, the mental and the emotional stimulation was a lot more important to me than the physical stimulation. And not that we didn't play and very much had a lovely time, but at the same time, it wasn't like...
It wasn't priority.
It wasn't like, gotta fuck. It's like, I want to get to know you, and I want to enjoy my time with you, you know?
But that just sounds like a real credit to the organizers of the first week, to almost put everybody in that friendly state of wanting to get to know everybody.
Yeah.
And the openness as well of allowing yourself for others to get to know you for who you are. Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
And that for me, I think, was a big step to be that open with complete strangers.
I've never seen you
I'm not usually like that.
Yeah. You know, she typically has, you know, if not full shields up, she's carrying a buckler. Yeah. And to see her without shields at all was amazing and refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like you said, to be craving that after the fact as well because you really enjoyed it.
So,
just sounds like a great...
But I will say that it was different the second week.
The second week was different. It was because, you know, look, the resorts themselves are not conducive to bi males. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, the second week was... I knew where my place was, and my place was not being who I am, if that makes sense. You know,
it makes sense. It sucks.
It sucks. But, you know, you very much
definitely.
And you can see in the people who are there, you can see in the way the resort is set up, and the difference in the way the people who work at the resort treat you was different.
Right.
You know, if you show any kind of bisexuality as a man. But, yeah, it was... The first week was very much a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And the staff, they've been doing the takeover there now for 7 years. And so the staff very much know what to expect that week. And from what we've heard from the staff, they very much look forward to that group coming in.
So, and little things, like the staff, we heard the staff say, this group drinks more water than any other group that we ever have.
Because you want to be conscious and cognizant, and it is one of those things that you're drinking all day and all night.
Yeah.
And so having water and having spacers is super important, not to just get stupid crazy drunk and then pass out and not remember anything and ruin your entire vacation.
Because you want to remember it. Yeah. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
So to hear the staff say that, to hear the staff say that this group is the happiest group.
Yeah.
And we heard one of the staff members say that. And it's like, that's kind of amazing.
Well, it sounds like you make more of a mental connection with your partner, your play partners, or with even just with people who don't eventuate to be your play partners.
Absolutely.
But You make more of a mental connection.
It was very much a relationship-based swinging.
Right.
Yeah. Which is something that I think the three of us, that's what we want. You know, look, any of the three of us could go out to a bar and find a random hookup, fuck them, and then that's it. But, you know, this wasn't the kind of relationships that we were building.
Yeah.
We were building, well, for instance, leaving, so from the first week, I think I've gained at least 15 friends on Facebook.
Right.
And I know that Angela has gained these as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that Angela will only friend you on Facebook if she would allow you into her house. That's a big statement right there.
Yeah.
To have these friends, people that we've met in 7 days, become where...
I build that rapport and trust.
I would say the vast majority of them, if they asked if they could stay with us, if they came to Sydney, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would feel comfortable with them being in the house.
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a huge statement as to the sort of the quality and the mentality of the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also the sex was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't play with a lot of different people. We could have, but you were right. We were more focused on the relationship building than the actual sex.
Yeah.
So, take a quick second away here and let, speaking of sex, let's go take a break and we'll come back after a message from somebody.
Wait, are we taking a sex break?
Yes.
I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And with our powers combined,
we are the Multi-Amory Podcast.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then come check out the Multi-Amory Podcast on the Swingset Network at swingset.fm, the Swingset FM Android app, or at multiamory.com.
And we're back. Was out of breath.
It was good for me. It was good for you.
Oh, my God. So
that's what she said.
One thing we haven't talked about, which I think you're going to want to know about.
That's what he said.
Is the phone party.
Oh, yeah.
The phone party.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That sounds great.
So the phone party is something that we didn't think we would enjoy at all.
No. In fact,
oh, really?
In fact, we had set up a date because the phone party was happening in mid-afternoon. And there was a couple that we wanted to play with, and so we had set up a date, and I feel really bad about this, because we're like, oh, we're just going to check out the phone party, because we've
10 or 15 minutes tops.
Because we've never done this before, I don't think we're going to like it, so we'll just be there for a few minutes, and then we'll come back. And then, first of all, let's take a backtrack for a moment. What we learned is there's this thing called desire time, where you can be walking from point A to point B, maybe just go get a drink from the bar. You run into people, you stop and talk to them. What should be a 2-minute walk ends up being 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Or you may never come back.
Uh-huh.
And so it can be that you can tell someone, oh, yeah, I'll be back in a minute, and you may never be back.
It's very much like a horror movie. I'll be right back, and you never see that person again.
And so we started referring to it as desire time because it just... And what's important to remember is that if somebody... If you're expecting somebody to you know, be there to meet you, say, in 5 minutes or whatever, and they, A, don't show up, or B, it takes them 15 minutes or 30 minutes, it was never a bad thing. It was never like, oh, my God, they fucking forgot about me, or I'm not, you know, important or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
There was an understanding that they got caught.
They got caught up. Yeah. And also, there's people around. You just talk to somebody else. You make a new situation. And you know, while it may not be, you may have thought that the plan was going to be to do X, and instead you end up doing Y, Z, B, F, K.
L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah, basically, you just have to look at it as, you know, not this is a bad thing or this is a lost opportunity, but, oh, look, it's an opportunity for something new.
Yeah.
Or something different, because then they may show up and have other people with them or whatever. Yeah. And so I did feel bad this day, though, because it very much turned into a desire time thing where we actually really fucking enjoyed the phone party.
And honestly, we were in
there.
That fucking pool for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And didn't even realize that time that
no,
much time
No, and so
passed.
We didn't make it to our play date, and that was the last day, and I feel awful, so...
We looked for them. We did a cursory look for them. Yeah. We looked for them where we were supposed to look for them. And it was just like, ugh. I felt bad. But next year.
It happens, yeah.
But then...
But then
they may have ended up...
I hope so.
Yeah.
I will say, he saw us later on in the night and was like, what happened to you guys? Yeah. And we're like, oh my God, desire time, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But next year.
Next year, for sure. Yeah.
Because I really look forward to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one I want to watch. Like, yeah. Grr. Yeah, grr. Anyway, basically what happens when you get two ultra tops in bed.
Right.
I know, right? Like, it's got either the world is going to explode or we're going to find the
Nirvana.
Yeah, exactly. So, supernova, Nirvana. One of those two things. But this foam party was magical.
Yeah, it was...
Surreal.
So they did it right.
So basically, it's in the swimming pool, and they start spitting out these soap bubbles on top of you. Mm-hmm. And at times, like, I could lift my arms straight up and still not be out of the foam.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Somebody had somebody on their shoulders and were just barely out of the foam. But I will say that we had a couple that gave us goggles because they didn't want to use them. Nice. So we had goggles so we could see if you're in the foam and under the water.
Yeah, we looked like fucking dorks, but it was great.
Half the people there had goggles on.
Yeah, well, we all looked like dorks. It was great. And what's really funny is kissing somebody with goggles on is difficult. And basically, that's what it ended up being. It ended up being like 60, 70 people in a pool. Drifting randomly, and if you ran into somebody, you chatted, how are you doing, who have you seen, and let's make out for a few minutes, and then, all right, bye-bye. And I mean, that's basically what happened.
I will say that what was really nice about that is that this was on the last day, so all of these people, or I would say most of the people, we had had a lot of interactions with, so it wasn't like random strangers that you're bumping into.
Yeah.
It's people that you've been flirting with, or playing with all week, and it's just really, it was sexy. Yeah. It was sexy as hell.
So, on day...
Yeah.
Three, on Tuesday or Wednesday, one of those days, I gave carte blanche, open consent, blanket consent to any male. If they wanted to kiss me, I was happy to kiss them. Anybody. Then on...
That's
very different, because that meant you didn't have to ask me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it's different.
But that also meant that every morning when we got up and we went to breakfast, outside of our door, there was a line of like 15 guys.
Me.
Not true. It was more like 7.
It's more like 25.
But, you know, that was great, because I know for a fact, because 3 guys told me, that I was the first guy that they'd ever kissed. Mm-hmm. 3 guys. Oh. And it was sweet. And I was like, for me, you know, I think you could be a little trite about it, but it was such an honor that guys, like, I'm who they pick. Or I was available. Yeah. Either way, I'm hoping it was the first one and not the second one. But it was such an honor to have that opportunity to escort people into a safe world. And to explore and play. And it was awesome because everybody there is a good kisser. I don't quite understand how that works.
You take lessons before you get there.
Clearly.
Yeah, I was going to say that's part of the chat.
I mean, I guess beforehand. That's why Cooper sends out that thing where you have to make out with your USB port for an hour each day. I wasn't really sure why we got that, but everybody...
That was an Etsy kit, and it was just Cooper's face that you had to put together. And
everybody was a good kisser. Really bizarre. But it was such an interesting, like, drifting through people, and you would bump into a guy, and they're like, I want to kiss you. And then you would bump into a lady and go, may I kiss you? And it was like, yeah, this is great. And then, so after I gave blanket consent to all the men, a couple days later, I gave blanket consent to anybody. Anybody who wanted to kiss me, I was happy to kiss you.
Yeah.
And it was really, for me, it was a great experience. And I kissed more people in a single week than I think I've ever kissed in a single week.
That is amazing.
It was great.
Yeah.
And to see Angela as comfortable, because Angela is not one that kisses, like, she's, again, a little more reserved, and you have to be in that inner circle in order for her to, but to see her kiss random people was great.
Well, because I think about half the people that kissed Bradford then would turn around and ask to kiss me.
Yeah.
And not, I would say probably about half. It wasn't everybody.
So did you feel obligated to say yes? Would you have felt comfortable saying?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so, but I wanted to make sure.
No.
Yeah. It was...
What's with only half?
After some people, after they kiss the best, they're like, why do I want...
Why do I want... It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, exactly. We've already had the golden goose. Why do we want this chicken?
But back to the foam party. So what I thought was a lot of fun with the foam party is, like, at first we were kind of in the middle where the foam was being spit out. So you're covered in it. You're, inundated in it.
Yeah.
But then after a little bit, I did kind of drift towards the edges because as you got closer to the bar, because, you know, there's a pool bar down in the, like, pool level. And so as you got closer to the bar, closer to the other end, the foam kind of thinned out a bit, so it wasn't as high, and you could kind of get away from it a little bit. And I was going over, I think, originally to get a drink, and when I came back, I actually found that I liked to be right at the edge of the foam, where you can kind of back up into it and, you know, surround yourself with, like, a little pillow, cloudy, foamy stuff. But you could also then kind of get out of it a bit if you wanted to talk to somebody. Yeah. And so I liked kind of being at that edge of it there. But it really was lovely just sitting back as well, watching people and watching people kind of move through the foam and in and out. And it was just like this little web of,
It seems to me like, did people just sort of disappear? And
Have you ever seen the old horror movie by John Carpenter, The Fog? It's basically The Fog, sexy fog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's basically sexy fog.
It was actually...
That would be an interesting dynamic as well, because if, like, people there with their partners with permission to explore and go and do what they want to do, that's really just bumping into someone and there you are. And it's let's take this moment. We've got this moment.
Well, I will say that at one point I got out of the pool to go to the restroom or something, and I was trying to tell him that I was going to be back so that... he wouldn't worry, not that I thought he would, but still, I was trying to find him, and I was kind of looking around. I couldn't find him anywhere. And somebody was like, are you okay? Somebody in the pool, we had one of our friends, they were like, are you okay? Like,
because I could see you searching around. Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm fine. I was like, I was just, you know, I was like, it doesn't matter. And I walked off. I was like, fuck it, I don't care.
I was in the phone making out with people. Yeah.
Fuck it, I gotta pee.
And I will say, that's rare for both of us to, because most of the time over the 2 weeks, we spent 95% of our time together.
Yeah.
And that was one of the rare moments where we split up and both of us felt comfortable just sort of roaming through the crowd.
It sounds like many of the couples, that was a perfect opportunity to split up and have your little individual adventuring and then come back.
Very much.
And it was lovely because I actually spent a fair bit of the foam party time in close vicinity to one of our listeners. There's one of the couples, and we flirted with her all week, never had a chance to play with them at all. Lots of hot tubs times and things with them, and we were rubbing up against each other in the foam party, like, because you have that soft soapy foam in the water, and there was lots of rubbing up against each other in that one. That was lovely.
She's on my list next
year. She's so sweet.
Looking at you, Canada, eh? Anyway, both her and her partner are both. He's on my list as well.
But I think we just kind of, some of it was a little bit intentional, but during the foam party, I think we just kind of were in, because she was like me in that she wanted to be towards the edge of it more so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure they know who they are, but I want to make sure that they know that my favorite season is fall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to drink my bourbon. Mm-hmm. So, looking at you, fall bourbon. Anyway. She had huge tracts of land. Anyway. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. And one of the couples, the fellow, when I kissed him, he was like, it was adorable, because he comes up to me and he goes, I want to kiss you. I went, oh, okay. He goes, can I do that? I was like, yes. And then he's sort of looking at his partner, making sure that she's looking so that we kiss. Uh-huh. And then he goes, that was the first time I ever did that. I was like, well, it didn't feel like it. And she was like, okay, I am saving that. I am putting it in storage, and I'm backing it up right now.
In the spank bank.
It was awesome. It was so cute.
Yeah.
Woof. Anyway.
Right. What other questions you got?
Oh, jeez.
So we're still in the first week.
Yeah.
Oh, but so that was the, so that was all the last still first night week. Of the first
yeah.
week.
Yeah. That was the last day, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So if we move on to the second week then now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. getting to the second resort, I will say that my mindset was in a different place. I expected it to be different. Uh-huh. I didn't expect it to be as open and accepting. I wasn't disappointed, but I will say going to the second resort, I had my shields up like full and photons on kill.
Yeah.
Phasers on stun. Photon torpedoes loaded. Anyway, I was very much more cautious going into the second week than I was in the first week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which was interesting because we were still kind of riding the high from the first week and hoping that the second week would be like that, but also knowing at the same time it wasn't going to be.
It was going to be
yeah.
good, but a different kind mm-hmm. of good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so you show up to the second resort. Mm-hmm. Now, what day was this? This was a
Saturday.
This was a Saturday, okay. Yeah. And again, did they have a welcoming kind of night?
Yeah, they did that the second night, I think.
No, the first night.
Was it the first night?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got everybody.
A Saturday. You're right, it was Saturday.
Yeah, they got everybody.
But the takeover was considerably less low.
It wasn't a takeover.
The first one was 90%.
Yeah. Of,
this one was... That was 70%. Maybe.
I would have said 75%. Yeah, I don't know what percentage to be honest.
Is it a nudist resort normally?
Yeah,
it's nudist / swingers resort. Both of them are
right. Yes,
both of them are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the difference as well, though, with the second week, is that at the swing set takeover, they allow gay couples, lesbian couples, and triads.
Uh huh.
Whereas at Pearl and every other time of the week at Riviera Maya, it's only couples, male-female couples.
Yeah, strictly heterosexual couples.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, you look at the activities they have planned, and it's very clear. It is very...
Well, like you were saying before with the dress code for some of the nights out.
It's extremely heteronormative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is not a fault to either... The people who were part of the takeover the second week, We Got a Thing or Swinging Down Under. This is a flaw of the resort. And it's a flaw.
And I would say it's a flaw of all resorts because they're all like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, somebody's got to change. Yeah. Somebody's got to make the start. So it was sort of a different mentality. We were both, I think, shields up.
Mm.
We got our room, which was a lovely room.
Yeah.
Actually, a better room than at the first one.
It was a bigger room, yeah.
Much bigger room. Then we went to get lunch, and when we sat down, and honestly, I wasn't looking for anybody.
No.
It's funny how you go to a place like that, and you even knowing that you're going to see people that you know, you're not looking for them.
No.
Right.
So we get to lunch, we sit down, and we're chatting, and then we look over, and at the table behind us was C&D from Swinging Down Under, and Mr. and Mrs. H from the Bedhoppers,
and then two other couples
who we didn't know. Immediately, the six of us jump up, we hug, because we hadn't seen C&D since the wedding. It was wonderful to see them, and then the Bedhoppers we've been talking to for the past 4 months, 5 months, and we speak to them, honestly, I would say at least every other day, if not every day. There's at least some sort of communication. We were doing video chats, I would say every other weekend. We would Skype for hours.
Yeah, so it was a well-anticipated event to meet. Yeah.
Meeting them was probably a highlight of the 2 weeks as well.
I would agree.
He is basically British Bradford.
Uh-huh.
He was...
So he's devastatingly handsome.
He is devastatingly handsome and tragically straight. I have always wanted to have sex with myself. I know, right? He is so sweet and funny and smart and kind. And she is exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah. She's sexy and sensual and delightfully British. very posh. And it was just so much fun to talk to them and connect to them. And they were people that the moment we met them, it literally felt like we'd known them forever.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful to meet them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, spoiler alert, the sex was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Even though you couldn't fuck yourself. But.
Even though I couldn't fuck myself. I watched myself fucking Angela, yeah. And I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, actually, we didn't even talk about the sex the week before with Cooper.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, just we'll talk about it more at a later time. But let's just say we played farmer and he plowed me till the cows came home. Anyway,
cows weren't the only thing that came home.
Yeah, I was moving. Anyway, so we met them. The whole week was great. It was really a lot of fun. It was a lot more chill. We spent a lot more time in the pool.
Uh huh.
On the pool beds, just relaxing.
And one of the things I did like about Pearl over RM was that they have a quiet side of the pool.
Yeah.
And they have the loud, crazy DJ side of the pool.
Yeah.
Right.
And if the pool is big enough that when you're on one side, the other doesn't really affect you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time at the quiet side in the beds. We shared a bed with the bed hoppers, I think.
Did you feel like you needed that because you exerted yourself so much in the first week?
Totally.
Yeah. And it was lovely because there were some other people that kind of hung out at the quiet end of the pool. And, I mean, just really, really made some lovely connections with people. And, I mean, ultimately people I would have liked to have played with. But at that point, I just didn't feel that I had to.
Yeah.
And so I was not in the mindset to make the first move, which is probably unfortunate because I don't know that they are necessarily people to make the first move either. Right. But, you know, if we see him again in the future, I'd say the groundwork is there.
Well, so would you say that there was the same excitement that you two experienced arriving the first week in couples arriving the second week?
No.
Because there would have been couples there that weren't attending the first week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were the only ones that did both.
Yeah.
And so
the
excitement level wasn't the same. Uh-huh. So people were excited to be there, but they weren't like
ecstatic and over the moon. And
it wasn't a situation where, look, and I don't, this is not a detriment to either group, but I think this is a fact of the way it is. The group in week one, we were all used to being misfits. And the group in week two, the only thing that was really, in this case, misfit about them was that they were non-monogamous.
Right.
And so, in the real world, they can still be, they can put on their masks, and they very easily become passable. They look like everybody else.
Yeah, it's not as, I don't know, but it's not as much as a burden to carry.
It's that, not, that yeah. mask. You know, it's
yeah, it's not a full face mask.
Exactly.
Whereas the people in the first week with their different sexualities or different kinks or different queerness need to hide that more in their day-to-day lives, whereas...
Or feel like you
do. They feel like they do. I hate that we say you need to, but I sort of agree with that. In order to succeed in the real world, you have to conform to the real world.
Yeah.
And I think the people in the second week are much easier to conform than the people in the first week. And some of that's by design and by choice, because you look at, like, hair color alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the second week, I think I saw two people that had there were plenty of people that had non-standard hair colors, what they were born with. Yeah. They were dyed. But two people that were either blues or purples or pinks.
Right.
No.
Whereas the first week, there was a lot of people that had non-standard hair colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And part of that is self-inflicted. But again, that's part of being who you are and trying to express yourself in a way that you feel safe and comfortable in doing.
Yeah.
I still, it's just like, it's harder for the week one to conform to normal societal rules than it is for week two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not it sucks that any of us have to try to conform.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, really, because it's almost as if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for the first week. If people come in and dye their hair color or what they want, that makes everybody else around them feel like they're able to
express
themselves, mm-hmm. let themselves go. Whereas,
which we did learn that in the second week, if it's a more
heteronormative crowd, then that's what's expected of you. So, mm-hmm. You kind of hide any other trait that you may have.
And we did learn that in the second week. You know, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else, of judging people before you actually know them and assuming that that the second week was going to be of a certain type. I assumed that, and then on the third to the last day, the second to the last day, we were lucky enough, because of C&D's work, host a BDSM intro to BDSM workshop. We had 13 couples come to that.
So there was another couple in us that kind of helped together.
Right. Yeah.
And that was epic. It was amazing to have that, to allow the kink community to come into this takeover, and for people to experience it.
Because there were people that in that group that liked BDSM play and that kind of thing, a much smaller group, but there were people there, and people that traveled with their own implements and toys, and willing to, you know, show them to people. And that, so we did kind of the intro workshop type thing, so people could see what it's like, and you know, there were people that had never really done anything that came along to get information and just see what it's like.
Just curiosity.
You know, yeah,
just,
absolutely.
There was one couple that specifically said to us, we've never done anything like this. We want to understand more about it. Uh-huh. And that's why we came.
Yeah.
And they really, I think they got something from it, which
is
great.
There were couples that have dabbled in it a little bit, but again, wanted more information, wanted to see a bit more. And so you kind of got all into the spectrum, and it was really nice. But it's a little bit smaller crowd, but it's definitely there.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that, you know, it's everywhere. It's not, you know.
And that's something that, you know, I think that we could have learned from going into it with the headspace that, look, we're used to being the freaks and geeks, but everybody's got a little bit of that in them. You know, everybody's got a bit of that funkiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every group, I should say.
Yeah.
So... But the second week was a lot more chill and chillax.
It was. We even took an afternoon and played Mario Party.
Yeah, with the bedhoppers.
We
brought our Nintendo.
Mario Party.
Yeah, on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. We had a lot of sexy times. Mm-hmm. We played video games. It was a lot more chillax.
It was, but I think at that point we needed the time to come down a bit before heading back to the real world, and so we kind of purposefully went into the week thinking that week would be a bit more chill, and I think that was partially by design and then partially just...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, there weren't as many daytime activities, which gave us more time to relax by the pool.
Yeah.
So, just sheer quantity of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Was there more first week compared to second week?
Like number of people in general?
Number of people in general, yes.
There were more people the first week than there was the second week.
Yeah.
But that's because it's a larger resort.
Okay.
And I will say that something I hadn't thought about till just now, and I'm not sure that I really paid attention the second week, partially because it is a bit more spread out, the resort in general, but the first week, because it was mostly a swing set takeover, you know, 90% of the rooms, I think, or something like that, were full from swing setters, but there were people at the resort that were not part of the group, and there was a couple on our transfer bus from the airport that was not part of the swing set group, and we were, of course, talking to them on the way from the airport. We saw them throughout the week, But those people were very much welcomed into the group. And they were very much, you know, if you want to be a part of our group, if you want to socialize and talk to us, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an exclusionary, like, you're not part of our group, we're not going to talk to you. And so it was very open. And some people, some of those who weren't, didn't come with the swing set group, some did come in and talk and were very social and got along very well. Some didn't, but that's up to them, whether they wanted to socialize or not. But I even know, like, the last night, one of the other guys, we were in the hot tub, and I don't know, Bradford was over with his partner and other people talking, and he and I were kind of sitting there cuddling and whatever, and this really hot couple walks up the stairs, and you could tell it was, like, their first night. They'd just gotten there. And so they walk up the stairs, and they kind of saw all the people in the hot tub, because this was hot tub happy hour.
Right.
And they kind of stopped and looked around, and you could see that moment of holy shit on their faces. So I caught her eye, and I waved. And so, you know, you could see kind of that, like, half second of, okay. And they went and put their stuff in a little cubby, got in the hot tub. Eventually, they kind of started making their way to the bar. So the guy that I was with caught her eye or his eye, whatever, one of them's eye, waved him over. So they came over and were talking to us. And we invited them to dinner. They came and joined our group at dinner. And it was just one of those things. It's like, you know, because it just, it doesn't matter. Like, anybody can join, and it's you're just people. But I don't know the second week if there was as much intermingling of podcast people or non-podcast people.
My guess would be yes,
but I didn't pay attention to it.
I didn't pay attention to it, to be honest. Because, you know, we never asked anybody if they were with the podcast group. We just talked.
Yeah, and after a while, the necklaces come off because you forget to put them on or whatever. But yeah, we just talked to people because it doesn't matter, right? You know, but
I will say one thing I did like about... So both groups had necklaces. Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked about the swing set group was the extrovert and introvert. Mm-hmm. And because like Angela said, you knew, looking at somebody, whether they were comfortable coming to you or whether you needed
to go to them. Yeah,
I even joked at one point. I was like, this is the most extroverted group of introverts I've ever seen. Because you would start talking to somebody who's an introvert, air quotes, and they would just, like, it's like the conversation, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I suppose, just thinking about my own personality, I would probably put introvert because I don't think I'm very good at starting the conversation.
But God, once we get you going, you don't shut up.
Well, that's exactly right. Once I start going, you can't shut me up.
But I think another key thing to remember about extroverts and introverts is that introverts, it's not necessarily they don't want to talk. It's that it takes more out of them, so they need more maybe time to themselves or more chill time to recover, whatever, whereas extroverts feed on that. And so it may be, you know, somebody was more of an introvert, maybe they just need a little more time if they're, you know, just kind of sitting to the side or getting a drink, maybe they just need that moment to themselves. So it's not necessarily they don't want to talk, but it is who starts the conversation, and if they're alone, that could be an okay thing.
So for the second week, mm-hmm. were there any kind of intermingling games that were happening to encourage couples to, you know, interact?
So both weeks, they're started off near the beginning of the week with a speed dating.
Right.
We did talk about this we did a crossover episode. I'm not sure what order everything's going to come out in, so it may have already or may not have, but we talk about this in the crossover episode with the Bedhoppers.
Is that speed dating as individuals?
We're going to talk about that. Right. So basically what happened the first week was the speed dating, and of course it's completely opt-in. You don't have to do it.
Uh-huh.
But the first week with the swing set week, they did it as couples. And so they basically had an inner circle of people that were returning swing setters, because this was also the largest group of newbies that they've had.
52% were newbie.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And so they had returning swing set people on the inside circle, new people on the outside circle, but you went around as a couple and you met couples, which was, or triads in the event of the triads, so you went around like that, and I think
as your group,
but I think that was genius and lovely, and because we're doing this as a couple, we're going into this together, and we're meeting
and
couples,
you're kind of taking your safe space with you,
yes, exactly,
yeah.
So straight away
so there's a lot of benefits to that too, because look, I know what kind of man Angela's interested in, but I don't know what kind of chemistry she might have with potential partners. Same with women. You know, I don't know what kind of potential chemistry she might have with somebody. So we've talked about this on the podcast before, where guys that I would have thought you have no interest in ever, you're like, oh my God, you've got to meet this guy. And I meet him and I'm like, when I first meet him, I'm like, I do not see this. Yeah. Uh-huh. But after talking to him for a while, I get it.
You get it, yeah.
But, so yeah. The first week, it was couples. And the second week, admittedly, they did two sort of speed datings. And we didn't go to the first one, but we did go to the second one.
But the first one was set up the same way.
Both of them were set up similarly. Yeah. Where you have the men, or one sex stays put, the other gender moves around.
Right.
Yeah. And so basically you're split up then as a couple. And in our case, we were even on opposite sides of the circle. Well, I guess because one's moving anyway, but he started off on the opposite side of the circle. Never made it around to me. But it was, you're split up from your partner already. And so what I found immediately was, and I was just, I kind of went into it like, I don't really like the fact that we're split up because I feel a lot more vulnerable. And I feel like if I feel vulnerable, because I'm typically a stronger person, then I know that a lot of other people are feeling vulnerable as well. Or a lot of other women anyway. Women probably also, guys too. Because I talked to a lot of guys who felt very vulnerable.
Uh-huh. And we overheard a lot of conversations saying they didn't like it.
No.
The setup.
The setup.
We heard a lot of people say they did, but, you know.
We heard a lot.
And
yeah.
And in
it sounds more set towards the extrovert kind of side.
It is, very much.
It is. And
I will say, in defense of them, the swing set has done this for 7 years, and everybody is saying, this is the best you guys have ever done for this.
Right.
And this was only their second year of doing it at DP 2018.
But I also think, like, one of the things that really bothered me was, and I won't go too far into it, because we do talk about this on the crossover episode, but the... Because you're split up from your partner, like, guys would come up to me, and the first two guys came up to me and went in for a full-on pash on the lips. People I've never met before, haven't seen them before, don't know anything, you're just some random guy. So I would turn my head and made him kiss my cheek, but after that, after two guys in a row did that, the first two, I started sticking my hand out to shake their hand, which feels dumb, but at the same time, it was a physical barrier of you're not coming closer, because so almost every guy would try to come in and like kiss you, and I'm just like, no, like, I'm not ready for that.
And there was no consent, there was no discussion, it was just like, it was assumed.
Yeah.
And
some people would like grab the arms or try to grab me around the waist or whatever, and I'm backing away from them. We're in the pool as well, so this is all in the pool.
Oh, so it's speed dating in the pool.
Yeah,
okay, right.
So, again, that adds to the vulnerability. You're new.
Yeah.
The speed dating the first week, we were in the...
I don't think I would have the balls
to
do speed dating to just passionate lips if I just met...
And, you know, at least the first week, we were all clothed.
I wouldn't have the balls to do that.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable. The second, you know, it's just... It's not the way I like to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking balls will... Yeah, lack of consent or respect to...
I would say respect, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was...
To assume that it's all right to do that to you.
That's... I don't know if that was the case, but the feel I got was, you're at this resort, you're gonna be okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that from the ladies as well.
Guys felt it from the ladies, women felt it from the men. It was just, it was both ways.
Yeah.
But I also felt that, I would say, in the hot tub as well, because there would be people in the hot tub that would just come up and start groping, and I'm just like, wait a minute, like, I've not ever said a word to you, I've never seen you before, it was just weird. And not everybody did. You know, there were a lot of people that did ask, may I hug you, may I touch you, whatever, that's okay. But there was a lot more of that assumed consent at the second week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's that, well, you're here.
Yeah.
This is, that's not consent,
you know,
just because you're there.
It's interesting, and I'm going to give, you know, a touch, just a bit more on consent, because we did talk about this on the podcast we did with the Bedhoppers. The first week, after giving blanket consent to all guys to kiss me, one guy in particular, I know we kissed four or five times after that, every time he came up to me and said, may I kiss you? Every single time. So it's not that, it goes back to consent is individual. And each time it happens, you have to get consent. You should get consent for it.
It's something that can be revoked at any time.
Exactly. Yes. And it's something that you should continually be asking for. May I do this?
Yeah.
And
see, but that's just a level of respect.
Well, the first week was very much the level.
For you as an individual, just to say, I know you've already said blanket statement, anyone can kiss you. But for me to feel comfortable, I want to know that
which was lovely. And it was such... That's what I wanted from the experience, is to have that safety and comfort, to know that... Because when somebody asks you for consent, it's also a reminder to you that you can revoke consent. Yeah. I think that's what's important about that, is that we assume that asking for consent is, you know, oh my God, he's asking for consent again. But it's a, you're reminding me that at any point I can say, no, not right now. Whereas if you don't ask consent, that also removes your ability to revoke consent. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it is true, because I'm sure that if at the second week, if anybody said, no, I'm not comfortable with that, mm-hmm. they would have stopped completely. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when consent isn't asked for, you assume that I can't say no. So yeah. you might be quiet and just go along with it.
And then feel a little dirty.
And then
later.
Feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
That was my big issue with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, is that a community thing? Is that something that we could have done a workshop on consent? Well, fuck, how many people would have come to a workshop on consent?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was something that was very much aware. I was very much aware of it.
Yeah. And I would say that for me as well, because that happened at the very beginning, you know, that speed dating was at the beginning of the week, that immediately then my shields were up. Probably, unfortunately so, for the rest of the week, my shields were up immediately when I would go up to people, is I wasn't...
Well, because
I wasn't
that set
as,
your expectation as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Because I wasn't as, like, the first week I would just go up to any group and it was just, you know, hey, blah, 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 whatever, start talking to people. Whereas this week I was, you know, still go up and talk to people, but it was just that extra step, half step back, or extra bit reserved. And again, I was just a lot more cognizant of what are they going to do? Are they going to try and touch me? Or are they not? Or, yeah. you know, and even, you know, most people aren't. But still, like, if you're going to do that in the pool when I very first meet you, when we're kind of vulnerable, naked, away from our partners, like, what are you going to do at other time?
And, yeah. I got touched a lot more. Because both weeks I wore very little clothing for the costumes. I got touched a lot more without people asking me the second week than I did the first week. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, I do remember a couple of times I was wearing the jock straps.
Yep.
And people asked if they could spank me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's funny that everybody asked Angela, not me.
Right.
And then both times Angela was like, you can ask him.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And they would hit me, and I was like, all right, this is cool. This is fine. But it is interesting how...
Just the dynamic was different.
It just it ends up... The second week was just more vanilla.
Even the assumed dynamic between the two of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To walk up and ask Angela, can I smack him?
Look, I'm gonna say something that I probably should save for a full podcast, but there is this assumption that in the swinger community that the women have all the power, that it's the only community in which women have all the power, and that is fucking bullshit. Because the second you give any gender power, you're taking power away from the other gender, and it's very clear that this second week had that mentality. Yep. The women have all the power. The women decide who we fuck.
Yep.
The women are in control of their partners because their partners are either, you know, too shy, unable to make a decision, or that's just the mentality of the swinger world, is that the women are in control. And I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
It's not the mentality that I have. Angela and I go into these things as full partners. Mm-hmm. You know, either one of us can veto it, either one of us can push it forwards. And it was very clear that the people in charge, because you look at Desire, the dress codes and the themes are for the women. The men are just there.
Yeah.
So the women get dolled up, they're the eye candy, they sell the product, and the men just go along with whatever the women are selling. And it's a bad mentality for swingers, and it's something that I think we really need to fix.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like you said, one of the theme nights was it the short red dress or
little
something?
Little red dress.
And then the men just wore basically suits with red ties.
Exactly. Basically, for most of the nights, the men's suggestion was, just try.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, we saw some amazing costumes.
Oh, we did,
Nautical Night, somebody came as fucking Gilligan.
Yes.
Oh, really?
That was the second week.
Genius.
That was fucking genius. I know.
Yeah. And awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
That was such a well-done costume. On Western Night, the Cowboy Night, number one, one of the guys came as a like a saloon owner, mm-hmm. and he had pockets that I think had condoms and lube, yeah. and he had the little mustache, like he belonged behind a bar in a saloon. We also saw at least four costumes that were Native Americans. God damn it, people, if you haven't figured it out by now, fucking dressing up as a Native American is not okay.
It's insensitive.
It's insensitive. It's fucking racist. Why don't you just come in goddamn blackface?
But, I mean, I was about to say that. Like shut up in blackface.
And seeing these people with glow war paint was appalling.
Oh, my God.
And honestly, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I'm not seeing this correctly. I'm seeing something that's not...
Yeah,
don't do that. That's my advice to anybody. If you're dressing up as another culture or race, don't do it. Hashtag not cool. So, yeah. But some of the costumes were really well done.
Yeah.
And
you
could tell the guys that really wanted to dress up. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they made
Ghostbusters.
The one dude was a Ghostbuster with a full inflatable Ghostbuster backpack.
It was fantastic. Wow. Yeah.
That was Uniform Night, which... Love it. This is also the same fella that came in on the first night, which was... So it was supposed to be lingerie, or for some reason there was a second one, which was superheroes.
So the typical, because it's the same themes every week, so the typical one for Saturday is lace and lingerie, but they do have random special themes, and so that particular night was also superheroes and villains. So you could do either or.
That's right, superheroes and villains. And he was fucking Princess Leia.
That's the thing. I know that sounds like a kind of basic idea,
but
you can do a lot with it.
Yeah,
he was fucking Princess Leia.
Princess Leia, so that's perfect.
It was great. He had he was wearing just an apron, nothing else.
Yeah,
and he had the earmuff,
earmuffs.
It was great. So some of the guys really took it and ran with it, which it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
But, it's the resort.
Those are the people that I would gravitate towards.
And we did.
The ones that really dressed up and really kind of tried, those are who we wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
Those are our people. We did meet also Our Naughty Escapades.
Yes. Ben and Jen.
Ben and Jen from Our Naughty Escapades, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Loved talking to them.
Yes.
They were so much fun. He's a hoot. I'm going to call him out because he doesn't fucking try when it comes to dressing up, but he's just cute enough that it's okay, and he's got one of those smiles that lights up a room. It was great.
Yeah. It is interesting because I would say over both of the weeks, so while they both had very different feels to them, we had a great time both weeks.
Yes,
absolutely. It was just a different kind of fun, I would say, the two different weeks. But overall, we met some of the most amazing people all different walks of life, all different interests, and just made some really great, lovely connections. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that it sounds like, a week is a long time to be at a resort. You have 7 days. But we ran out of time to talk to everybody we wanted to talk to play with everybody we wanted to play with, to do all this stuff. It wasn't enough time.
And I will say, that's something that next year I want to change.
Yeah.
It's because I wasn't thinking about playing with people either week until about day five.
Yeah.
Right.
And at that point, you've got day five, night five, and night six. Because day seven, you leave. So,
I think next year we'll be a little more cognizant to get things rolling sooner.
Yeah. Because it was something that I missed playing with a few people because I just wasn't in the mentality.
Yeah.
And for us, playtime, I don't like playing at 3 a.m.
No.
And that's after a hot tub. I don't want to leave the hot tub and then go play. I want to leave the hot tub and go to bed.
Yeah.
I want to play mid-afternoon is between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. is my ideal sex time.
And we did have some morning escapades. We had some daytime play.
Yeah.
We did shy away from the nighttime, except for the last night, week one, when we did the disco.
The mini orgy.
That was before hot tub time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the play the first day with Cooper?
If you want to. Yeah.
We don't have to.
No, we can. Absolutely.
Because we also have the demo that we did.
Oh, yeah, we did. You talk about that. Oh, my God.
What's the demo?
So Cooper's partner, Ophelia, she was not able to do the pegging demo.
Right.
So she asked Angela, as the resident... after Ophelia, pegging expert, if she would mind pegging Cooper during the demonstration.
Because they did an intro to anal play and pegging.
And so Angela did. which ended up being one of the hottest things I think many of us in that room had ever seen, was Angela pegging Cooper for a good 30 minutes.
Well, it was funny because
I started swaying in my seat.
And a big old grin on your face. But it was interesting because, like, at that point, you know, I've never played with Cooper in any kind of anal play or pegging or anything like that. I mean, really just met him, like, the day before or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe
but you
2 days
had
before
sex with him, I'm just saying.
Well, not anal sex. And so...
I'm just making it very clear. You're acting like you never, like, seen him naked.
Well,
like,
but not had,
anal sex.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
And so it was...
It's hotter.
So it's one of those things that I've pegged Bradford in front of people before for, like, the SEITC classes. It's a smaller class because I think there were probably, 30, 40 people at this.
I would have said 50 or 60. It was okay. A bunch of fucking
there were a lot of people.
Started out with 30 or 40 and ended up with 50 to 60.
People were calling their friends.
But you got to see this shit. Yeah. Get down here.
People were flying in just to see it.
But it was a lot of people. And I know that I was, I'm going to say a little, I don't know how else to say it, but a little anxious because this is the first time I've pegged this
stage
person.
Fright.
This is the first time I've done any kind of anal play with this person and pegged this person in front of these people. And it is always one of those things, like, you know, what if something goes wrong?
Yeah.
Or what if we just can't get the right groove or whatever? And but again, if that happens, that happens because it can happen in real life. So it's also a learning experience for people if things go wrong. But that's not the impression I want to leave them with. I want to leave them with a good impression.
Yeah.
And I mean, it worked out. Everything was great.
I was going to say, after 30 minutes, I'm sure I had a decent impression of what
was
going
on. It was fine.
It was good. It was fun.
I will say, I have this undying image in my head of you fucking Cooper with him on his back. And because there was a light... Like, because it was in the disco, and they had these lights, these bright lights shining down on him. He was wearing sunglasses. So it was sort of like
Oh, my God.
It was like this surreal 1990s pegging.
Uh-huh. Right.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I enjoyed it.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.
The only thing that was a little odd for me was that at the same time that I was doing that, behind me there was another scene where Tristan Taramino was doing anal play on a partner. But she was doing, you know, a lot of talk and this kind of thing throughout hers. So normally when I'm pegging, I do a lot of dirty talk and I'm very mouthy.
I was about to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I didn't
feel like I could because I didn't want to take away from what was going on behind
me.
Okay. So there was a little bit that snuck out here and there. But
she can't control herself.
But I was a lot more cognizant to try and keep my mouth shut because I didn't want to take away.
Right.
Ophelia was going back and forth between Angela and Cooper and Tristan and her partner
with a microphone
like, and somebody said later it was like watching Iron Chef where the secret ingredient was anal. Which
Szechuan
anal. Which when, after hearing that, I was like, that's exactly what it was like. Because it was like, so what are you doing here? And it's like, I'm pegging him. Awesome. How was that?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing over here? And like, Tristan had this butt plug that had a tuning fork on the end of it.
A tuning fork?
Tuning fork, yeah. So it was a solid metal butt plug where the end of the butt plug was a tuning fork.
Wow.
And I love the look on the gentleman's face right now.
That is just...
So, and she would whack the tuning fork, like, and like he could feel it vibrating inside of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of epic. And somebody's like, I think that's a G.
A G sharp.
So, yeah, it was... it was pretty amazing. That whole situation was amazing. The first week as well, we did two nights of karaoke. Cooper and I sang Suddenly Seymour.
Ah, yes.
Which,
okay.
I don't know if you listened to that. I posted it on Twitter. It was, he sang Seymour's part, I sang Audrey's part. It was kind of amazing. And then the second night...
I don't want to toot my horn, but...
I will. I don't like to brag, and I won't, because I don't have to. But then there was... so Dylan, also from Life on the Swing Set, he had said, look, we can have the disco to do another karaoke, but I don't have the energy, or the emotional energy, to host another karaoke night. He goes, so if we're going to do it, would you mind doing it to me? So... I did it, and I hosted karaoke, which was, again, one of the highlights of the week. Just, like, it was very much a situation where I was like, anything that somebody said to me, I was like, yes, let's do this. And so he gave me the opportunity to do it, and it was fun as hell.
And can I just say that amongst the swing set group, you can tell it's all the theater kids and whatever, because there's some fucking amazing singers.
There's some fucking talent. It was like, there was a few of them that would get up there, and I was like, I was so excited when they would hand me their tickets, and I saw what they were going to sing. I'm like, yes, so much yes.
Yeah.
Because there was a little bit of jazz, there was a lot of musical theater. Mm-hmm. It was great. So, yeah. And then I think my only disappointment from the first week, and I'm not going to say this was a disappointment because it was an opportunity, and we took it and ran with it, was we had hoped to have a full bi orgy.
Yeah.
Of just a bunch of men playing up near the spa. In the end, it was me and the tall feller with the high heels from last podcast. He and I played next to the spa. I know Angela and his partner watched. And I could tell there was a... funny, because there was a couple of the guys that were interested, but they were hiding way back. Right. And then all the other ones that I thought would have been interested didn't even show up.
Yeah.
So I think it was one of those, they were trying to protect themselves, going back, trying to get out of their heads. Next year, it's going to fucking happen.
Well, I also think it was interesting that when you and the other gentleman started playing, so the three beds that are directly next to the hot tub, it's a little bit darker. There's not lights directly over them. And then, whereas the other seven are down kind of off to the side, and they are fairly well lit. And so you guys went to the darker, one of the darker three, you know, because that way people wanted to be a little more, like, in the shadows or whatever, not be so out there and open in front of everybody, they could. But then, I don't know if people just didn't see you guys up there.
Everybody saw us. You had to walk past us to get in the hot tub.
I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
No, everybody saw us. We picked that because it was darker, so you had a little more privacy, but it was also right in the path.
It was.
Right.
So, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
God, he's
cute. But, as I was saying, his partner and I were just sitting down in the hot tub.
Enjoying the show.
Looking up at them. Yeah, just enjoying.
Yeah.
And then one last thing I want to talk about is the desired drop, which everybody told us about that. I was like, I don't get it. But
the desired drop.
Yeah. So it's sort of that emotional drop when you realize that you're going to have to go back to the real world.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And we saw a lot of people that would disappear for a few hours or maybe a night. And they would just like, so everybody did. Because you're going, you know, from 10 a.m. till 2:30 to 3 a.m. every night.
Yeah.
Mm. It's exhausting. Mm. And so occasionally people would drop out for a night and they would go to bed early and then that would be their sort of relax. But one of the things they talk about was, like last on the swing set at least, is Dylan had this moment where he was eating apple strudel one morning and he cuts into the apple strudel and then breaks into tears because he realizes that this apple strudel represents desire. I mean, it's funny. It's that desire moment. And I heard about it. I was like, oh, that's sure. That's great. And that won't happen to me. Which, I mean, everybody in this room and listening to the podcast knows how I'm the emotional mess. So,
if it's going to happen to anybody.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, the second to the last night, we were up at the hot tub. And we were getting ready to go down. And we were there was discussion about going down and getting food. But... I got up to go to the bathroom, and I went to the urinal, and I'm literally peeing in the urinal, and suddenly it hits me, and I'm crying, like, it wasn't like full sobbing, but there were tears running down my cheek, and I'm standing at the fucking urinal. I know, right? And so, I was like, alright, pull yourself together, Bradford. So I pulled myself together, and then I went and told Angela, I was like, hey, I'm okay, I'm just gonna go back to the room for a minute, I'll see you in a bit. And she was like, okay, are you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm totally okay. Blood sugar's normal. I'm just going back to the room for a bit. And that was actually not a night. It was hot tub happy hour one day. And then you came to the room, and I told you what happened. You were like, all right, well, let's just sit down, and let's chill for a few minutes. And we did, and I was fine.
We just cuddled for like 30 minutes or so.
But it is that moment where you're like, this world's surreal.
Yeah.
And this isn't the real world. And I'm going to have to go back to the real world. And I don't want to. And it's literally your body and emotions trying to fight the real world.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And for some people, that would happen while they were there. For some people, it's after they get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, that would really suck if you get home and experience that, because it's, you wouldn't have that chance to live the last moment. You know what I mean? Like that last night or that take advantage of what you have left.
And I will say that to piggyback on that, an interesting point, and I think I saw it more the first week, but I also think it's probably because people were more able to be their authentic selves. But while people were generally happy and excited and upbeat and whatnot, there are times that people may have been a little bit down or been a little bit quiet or a little more serious, and that's okay.
Pensive.
And if you had a problem or if you were having an emotional moment, there was this fucking huge support group around you, and people would come and rally around you and support you, whether they knew you before that week or not.
Right.
And it was just fascinating to see that group dynamic and how supportive people were.
Sounds like just a great group of people.
It was amazing. And it was that, you know, the people that would come up to you and if you were down, say, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay? And if it's...
Do you need a hug? Do you need a story?
Do you want me to just sit with you?
Yeah.
And the number of times, like, your people are on vacation.
Yeah.
And they're willing just to sit with you in silence.
Yeah.
And then just be.
Yeah.
And... that to me is such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
To take time out of their
vacation.
Yeah.
Just to ensure that you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
And it was something that's sort of surreal, and I will say is a drug, because like literally we left and we were going to the second week at Pearl, and we were like, all right, 350 more days and we'll be back here. So yeah, it was
it sounds just too good to be true, really. It's such a great event.
It's Wonderland.
Yeah.
The whole time you're a bit sort of questioning whether what you're seeing is real. But you're enjoying every moment of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say a big statement here, which is both weeks were amazing.
Yeah.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you can go to either the Swing Set Takeover or a takeover, any podcast takeover, but...
because there's several of them.
There's several podcast takeovers, but the We Got a Thing and Swinging Down Under Takeover, both weeks were great.
Mm.
For me, I had a better experience the first week, but that's just... That's who we are.
Yeah.
I think that if you listened to the three podcasts, or the four podcasts... it's pretty easy to separate us into likes and likes.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the first week was those were our people. That's who I feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
It is the band geeks and the theater nerds and the science peoples.
Yeah.
That's who I connect with.
Mm-hmm.
So going back in the future, I would always pick, for me, Life on the Swing Set to take over. It's surreal. I cannot wait.
Sounds incredible.
I can't wait till next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, I hate to wish my life away, but I'm like...
I already put in my time off today.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, it is a wonderland.
Yeah.
And I really can't wait to bring you next year.
That's great. Yeah, so I've been given the dates tonight.
Yes.
So,
because
tomorrow I'm going to put it in.
And I will say, it is one of those things that it's like pendulum party every single day, all day.
Yeah.
It felt like that. It felt like our pendulum parties. It felt like a place where you can sit and chat and we'll talk about anything. And then we're going to go and fuck the shit out of each other. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But then we go get pizza.
Or tacos.
Like,
four of them.
Like, and you would meet people for breakfast, and you would just have like a quick breakfast date. And it was, again, there was so many people I wish that we had an opportunity to connect with.
Yeah.
On a sexual level. We connected with so many people on a mental level.
I will say that I will make that more of a priority next year, because I think this year I was so overwhelmed with the wonderful people and the conversations and the laughs and all of that, that play became secondary and it wasn't priority. But we're also really lucky in that we go to the Swingers Club a lot, so we get a lot of play.
We get a lot of play.
So for us, that it just wasn't the priority. To me, I wanted to make those connections. But I think that next year, I would like to build upon some of that.
I agree.
Yeah.
So.
And if we take Slutterella here with us.
So, question, was a week long enough?
Look, man, you could have said, I'll do it for a month, and I'd be like, I'll join that commune. I will live in that commune.
I would say that a week is...
I mean, it's definitely left you wanting more.
I think 10 days would have been perfect.
I would agree. 10 days was perfect. Because by the end of the second week, I was starting to get to be a little much by, like, the last couple of nights. But 10 days would be perfect. A week is good, though.
A week is great. A week is great.
Especially now knowing what we're going into. Because we didn't know at the beginning. But I think now knowing what we're going into, it'll be better.
It was, by the end of the second week, I was starting to get heartburn every night because of all the fucking alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
And late nights, early mornings.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good for your digestive system.
Well, especially because you're eating the pizza and whatnot right before laying down and going to bed.
And, you know, and you're drinking... I think I had a bottle and a half of red wine one night by myself. Which, that's my own fault. But seriously, who drinks water? Anyway. and that was with spacers. So... You know, that's bad. It starts to wear on you. Because you are always on.
Yeah.
And it's a genuine on. It's not like I'm putting myself on. But that's still exhausting.
Yeah.
So, hot tips for first timers next time around.
I will say that one thing that we did, made a very conscious effort to do, that I think really, really helped us, and it's because we were warned by other people going into it, was we took time for ourselves.
Yes.
And so every day we would take... And it would be at different times. It wasn't always the same. But, you know, maybe before dinner we would take 30 minutes and just kind of sit down on the bed and hold each other, reconnect a bit. We would talk about this, that, or the other, but it was, or might be later in the evening. But at some point we would take some time in our room or walking along the beach and just reconnect with each other.
Yeah.
And are we on the same page? Are we not? And just, but again, it's that not being around other people and just being able to kind of come down and just be us.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of helped to sustain us over the 2 weeks.
I agree.
Was to do that.
We did that a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the sex we had was just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was the reconnection as well.
Yeah.
So, because we had a lot of sex over 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of it was with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps.
You also said earlier to maybe start to play within the first 1 or 2 days.
I would say,
don't
you know,
shy.
And
don't
every,
be shy.
We've heard this on multiple podcasts, which is 7 days is a long time, but not nearly long enough.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
And I think that's an important thing to remember
yeah.
is that it goes by fast.
Especially when there's daytime things that you want to do as well, and you also want to have your daytime orgies, and time fills up.
I kind of liked the idea of you guys spending a couple of days in LA beforehand, getting over the jet lag, getting over the travel, just the two of you. I think that's a good idea as well, so you can come in a bit more prepared.
Yeah, and that was great. I think next year what I'd prefer to do is spend a couple of those days getting used to it at Desire.
Right.
Before the swing set crew gets in, to sort of like, all right, this
because
is
there are other
acclimate yourself
to the world,
to the resort, to your location.
I was gonna say there are other people there, of course, at that time. But at the same time, if our focus is on each other, not necessarily other people, then I think that's just it'll be good.
So yeah, I mean, it was all in all, it was best vacation I've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bloody fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was enough that we were booking for it before we left it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that says something. So, yeah. Any final thoughts? So I will...
Bring on next year.
I will end it with a quote that I know was said to us the first week, which is, "The night is young and the week is yes." Which, I think that we should take this back to the bedroom and... do some very naughty things.
Mm-hmm.
So find the gentleman on Twitter at the_gentleman79. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at By the By Podcast. Our website, www.bytheby.com.au. Leave us a review. That'd be nice because we like to see nice things from people. Help us out. You can go to Patreon and become a patron of ours, a supporter of ours, patreon.com/bythebypodcast. Buy some geeky sex toys. We gave away geeky sex toys at Desire, which was kind of amazing. At our live podcast, we gave away a lightsword dildo, which was kind of epic.
Nice.
And the couple that won it I could not have picked a better couple because they came, he dressed as C-3PO, and I have never seen a human being walk like C-3PO other than C-3PO.
That is perfect. Yeah.
And she was Yoda, he was C-3PO. It was great.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fucking amazing. And they won the lightsaber dildo.
Awesome. So.
Pretty stoked for that. But go to www.geekysextoys.com/buy-the-buy. B-Y-T-H-E-B-I. It helps you out. It helps us out. And they do ship worldwide. Yeah, so thank you very much to the gentlemen for, you know...
You're welcome.
All these questions, comments, and sexy remarks. And we'll see everybody out in podcast land later.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Emily, co-host of the Multiamory podcast. We offer new ideas and advice for multiple forms of love, everything from conscious monogamy to ethical polyamory and radical relationship anarchy. And you're listening to a Swing Set Network podcast. Find us and much more at swingset.fm.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.